You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, it is time to get us a little closer to, well, you know, kind of a big game on Sunday already. See some Eagles fans over to the left of me. We'll try to get them on and see why they feel confident. Jay Hardgrave, I'm pretty positive the last 2 weeks, doom and gloom for your New Orleans Saints. The offense will never get back on track. Don't dare have the Eagles get in the postseason. Here you go, 2 weeks later from your doom and gloom speech. It is the Saints and Eagles. We'll take a look at the other matchups in the NFL as well. Pelicans this weekend begin an 11-day, five-game road trip. Scott Kushner didn't mince any words. He said the next 12 games will determine the fate of the Pelicans season. We'll get your take there as well on all of that. And notice, Jay, I have not potted you up because we cannot get the show started until Joey does this.
It's Friday, gotta get down.
Now you're up.
It doesn't matter what I say because you don't listen. I've asked you to stop playing Rebecca Black.
Yeah.
You continue to play this annoying song.
Yeah.
Everything I say about the Saints, you hear what you want to hear.
No.
It's amazing to me that you're still married.
I have Rafael Esparza we're going to talk to at 12:30 right here in front of us. He is a witness. You claim doom and gloom. Saints offense, we know, there's no way they can beat Nick Foles and the Eagles. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I said, do you have that on tape that I said there's no way we could beat Nick Foles?
You said, I mean, if they come in.
Were those my exact words, Gus?
Jordan the intern for weeks, he's been fearing the Eagles as well. I mean,
how do you stay married?
Oh, I remember, because I was like, it's incredible, a team that just had to get into the sixth seed. I mean, screaming A, everybody else is just, it's all about Nick Foles and the Eagles, not, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees and the offense in the team that's number one in the NFC and has the one, doesn't matter.
So let me ask you a question.
There you go. Here's your weekend. This is what you wanted. And there you go.
So let me ask you a question. You must be predicting an Eagles win yourself.
No, I never said that. You're the one that wanted it.
But by logic, you argued with me 2 weeks ago and said that when I was concerned about the Saints relying on the turnovers constantly, you said, well, the Saints are creating that. That's always going to happen. Well, the Eagles are finding ways to win every week. So that's always going to happen. Gus, you must be predicting an Eagles victory.
Here's the beauty of it, because you just said one of the reasons that I had remained confident and told you to be confident in the Saints when I had to talk confidence in you several weeks ago. Because you expressed, you know, the offense doesn't look the same.
They don't.
You know, but didn't you just say the Eagles find a way to win?
They did, didn't they?
Didn't the Saints find a way to win?
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, right? I mean, they lost one game against the Cowboys.
Right.
Right? And then the Panthers, whatever.
Exactly my point. So by your logic, you should be thinking. Right. So the Eagles are finding ways to win. So you must be thinking that the Eagles are going to win this game.
Pretty sure Jordan the intern can also vouch for me that we had a Friday show in which caller after caller had to talk some common sense into Jay Hardgrave.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, before the show, just so happened to change.
I mean, Jay, who that?
Who that, yeah.
What happened last week?
Who that Hardgrave?
What happened last week?
Doom and gloom happened last week.
Yeah.
An Eagle secondary that's got some serious issues.
It's the same secondary 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that you were confident could come in here.
So basically beginning of the year, said that the Saints would be lucky to get a wild card, and then you could see them going maybe 10-6 when I was telling you they were going to win the Super Bowl. So basically what you're saying, so if you say it once, it carries throughout the entire year. You don't make adjustments as you see things happening in a game or between games.
Pretty incredible. I mean, even Jordan's shaking his head here. Now he wants to go back to August and say they won the Super Bowl literally 2 weeks ago. Concerned.
I was concerned. I'm not as concerned anymore.
They haven't
15 point win, Jason.
But the opponent did, Gus. What is so hard for you to understand on this?
You're incredible. You're incredible. No, you're incredible.
Jay's hot take.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this.
They're incredible.
Did you feel as good about the Patriots' chances after seeing the Chargers play?
Let me take what you just said, and we can throw it out there as one of the questions of the day. Did the Eagles-Bears game change your opinion of Philadelphia?
There you go.
Because it clearly did for you.
It did.
Because 2 weeks ago, watch out. You're like, we good.
What are the people?
That's incredible.
Hopefully we can get at one of our guests from Philadelphia here. But what are the people of Philadelphia calling Maddox? The king of the double move.
Yeah.
Okay? That secondary is too beat up for Philadelphia to be able to match up with the Saints.
Okay.
It's that simple.
That simple?
Yes.
Wow. Right there, huh?
Yes.
But what happened to the Foles magic you were telling me 2 weeks ago?
He's going to score points.
Unstoppable.
He's going to score points on our defense.
The Eagles offense. Unstoppable.
I didn't say they were unstoppable. I said this is a better team with Nick Foles than they are with Carson Wentz, and it was a team that I did not want to come down here. I don't feel the same way.
After one game, against the Bears defense that you feared and thought that Bears defense could go to the Super Bowl.
So let me ask you this:
I'm just saying that.
Do you feel the same way about the Baltimore Ravens offense, having watched Lamar Jackson play one game in the playoffs?
I never thought that offense was going to be anything.
All I kept hearing from people was, "Oh, the Ravens can run the football. The Ravens can run the football." Mm-hmm. What did I tell people? The Ravens are going to struggle against the Chargers to run the football. Right. Once they took that away, one game, yes, it changed a lot of people's opinion about the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, one game changed my opinion about the Eagles' defense.
Right. I'm just saying that that's the difference. I'm looking at the body of work and the body of work of the Saints. That's why a couple weeks ago, I'm like, look, every game in the postseason is going to be difficult.
Look,
right?
I see
where
you're going.
2009. The Saints won the Super Bowl because Brett Favre threw an unthinkable interception.
Right.
Vikings were going to win that game.
They had us beat.
That was happening, okay? Against the Cardinals, Saints spotted them 7 points right off that opening drive. I mean, they scored, right? Saints had to come back and make some plays. I'm just trying to think, honestly, most of the postseasons, I mean, there's going to be games that are going to be tough. I think Sunday is going to be a game right off the top. We can get into it, right? I think it'll be a close game in the first half, third quarter, maybe fourth quarter. The difference is there. But at the end of the day, you look at matchups, and at the end of the day, you look at the amount of playmakers on the field, and that's why I think the Saints can win this game. Do I think it's 48-7? Not a shot.
No,
and
no
it's
way.
Not gonna be, I'd be shocked. If that happens, start booking your stuff to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come
agree
out
with you completely
and throttle
there.
Them again with how good the Eagles have been playing, which they have been.
Yes.
Then yes. But I and it's the postseason, man. Things are different. I mean, remember last year, Saints took care of the Panthers rather easily. That playoff game?
Right.
Little tighter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we thought so. And that playoff game against the Panthers was a little tighter. But you felt the Saints could win, but the game was a little tighter.
Look, you're going to get the best shot in the playoffs from every team because there's nothing to hold back. Mm-hmm. You're throwing everything you've got at a team. You bring up the Panthers. That was a perfect example. Last year, we were a better team than the Panthers. They gave us fits in the playoffs, though, and it took everything we have. I think the Eagles will give us fits in this game. I think it'll be a close game, but I could see the Saints end up winning by 2 touchdowns with a late touchdown. I felt a lot better when I saw the line that Vegas put out, and we can talk to Rafael when he comes on. When I saw 9 points, my first reaction was, that's way too much.
It's gone up to 9, huh?
Well, I think the original line was 9. I think it's dropped to 8.
Yeah.
But I said, that's way too many points. And yeah, I keep going back to something Danny Sheridan once said. When a line looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Vegas usually is right on the money. And I could see this game being a one-score game and the Saints scoring late to put it into a double-digit and a
like
Saints cover. Very similar.
Right. Like the Rams. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. Again, we're at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Jay Hargrave, I know you're super excited that there'll be now 2 locations of Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, not only here in the quarter, but on Tuesday we'll be a part of the grand opening over at Boomtown Casino in Biloxi. And looking forward to doing the show there. It's not the quarter, but it's on the coast.
Yes.
So instead of looking at Royal Street, I guess I might get to see the beach?
The beach.
I don't know. I haven't been.
I haven't been to Boomtown,
right?
To be honest with you. I'd be my first time to go there. But we've always known there was going to be another old Saint. It was just where. Mm-hmm. And we're going to tap into the Mississippi market. When we opened this up, I never realized how big Deuce was in Mississippi. And I had a couple come here. And
you know
they told
he played
me,
at Ole Miss, right?
Right.
Okay.
But I didn't know how big he was at Ole Miss, Gus. I had a couple that said they came to New Orleans to see his restaurant. I called them out on it. Mm-hmm. I said, wait, you came to New Orleans to see his restaurant, or you came to New Orleans and wanted to have lunch or dinner in his restaurant? She says, no, we came to New Orleans just to see his restaurant. I said, right. How big is Deuce at Ole Miss? She looked at me. She said, Archie, Deuce, Eli. In
really?
That order. And I said, are you kidding me? She said, no. She said, Deuce is right behind Archie as the most popular Mississippi son.
Deuce McAllister has been a name that's been bantied around out there by a lot of Saints fans as the player that should lead the Who Dat chant. You know, the chant that happens right before kickoff in the past, last year. They brought in, you know, Reggie and some of the members of the team. I get it, because I still think one of the greatest games was an Eagles-Saints playoff game, right, 2006, in which Deuce McAllister alone won that game.
Yeah.
I mean, just – I remember that last drive, was it 10, 11, 12 plays, whatever it was, and it was just run. It was run, Deuce, and got
and he was picking up some third
that
downs.
That was the game that we thought Reggie Bush got decapitated on the screen pass, remember? I mean, that there's been some pretty good, and we'll go into it, some pretty good battles in the postseason between the Saints and Eagles. And
I think we've played the Eagles more than anyone else.
Yeah, so I think when you take a look at it again, it's just, I think it's going to be another chapter on this, mm-hmm. you know, for that. As I mentioned several times, I was there earlier in the week. They're confident, and they're very similar to us. I was rooting for them absolutely last year. It's hard to believe that was their first championship with their history that they have. But, and look, I still believe this even before I thought, or knew it was going to be Philadelphia. I keep thinking the Saints divisional game may be the tougher of the two games.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
The only reason I say that is because, again, you have that bye week, get that lay-in going, and I just think the pressure that you saw the Saints have to deal with against the Vikings, and you saw it, you knew it, and Breeze and him talked about it years later. Meacham's talked about it. When he does the show with us on Thursday, you could feel it in the city, okay? Going into that divisional round game against the Cardinals that year, there was supreme confidence. I remember doing the show as our first remote, Larry Holden and I, and for the Sports Hangover. And, I mean, super fans were out there. I mean, people could not wait for that to happen, for that game to happen. They won it. Then it's the Vikings, and the you could feel everyone's nerves because
is this going to happen?
This is how close we are. It's at your play, and you could just feel the tension. Drew Brees can throw a spiral in his sleep. Do you remember that game? The amount of wobbly ducks on the drive that led to the Hartley go ahead. I mean, winning field goal. The wobbling duck, Colston bobbling catches. You could feel it. I mean, because players talked about it. There was so much pressure that they felt that they wanted to produce for the fans in this city. You know, you had the Katrina history. You had all that. And here it is, at home, a chance to do it. And Robert even said it, right? He's told us several Thursdays as we get to the phone lines here in a sec. He goes, when you got to the Super Bowl, it was cookies. I mean, you could see it on media day. You could feel so – they were so much more relaxed. And I think that's going to be somewhat the case, I think, this year. That game last year, the way it ended in Minnesota, coming in this year, immediately, you know, offseason, there's the banner, prove them right. They have been dealing with the expectation level. So I do think they get past this weekend, that NFC Championship game, you can add 3 points because of, you know, they have to come here to play the Saints. I honestly feel that. I think the Saints will not be as nervous, I guess is what I'm getting at, especially since they would have played the team they would face in the NFC Championship game. They've played Dallas, and they've played the Rams. You know what I'm saying?
And for Drew, he's already been down this road.
Right.
He knows what to expect.
That's what I'm getting at. Clint, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, man. What you got, Clint?
Oh, nothing. From Fort Worth, I was just calling in the Facebook thing y'all posted.
Uh-huh.
I really think that Ted Ginn, now that he's back, he needs to step up, take some pressure off Thomas. If he can make a few plays, that way it's not just Thomas, you know, as far as the receivers go.
Gotcha.
Get that passing game, you know, up and running a little more, take some pressure off the running game. And then as far as defense goes, I mean, Apple needs to step up. And so he won't get, I feel like he gets picked out easily by some of the quarterbacks we've faced in the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call it 35-14.
Ooh, 35-14 from Clint over in Fort Worth. All right, who would be the opponent then? Who you like it between Dallas and the Rams over there?
I'm going to say it's going to be the Rams, even though because I'm a Saints fan and I live in DFW, I wouldn't mind if we played the Cowboys again and beat them in the playoff, just so I wouldn't have to listen to so many Cowboys fans around here. That would be entertaining for me.
Right.
But I'm gonna say the Rams got too much. Their defense, that off the offense is. I think the Cowboys are gonna have off week, and choke in the playoffs.
All right, Clint, appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for tuning us in.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
On the NFL Network, there it is, Saints Steelers replay. Jay, that's another reason why I'm kind of confident. I think that was a great game to end the season with,
yeah,
for the starters, essentially, because that was a playoff game. That was a playoff atmosphere. The dome was loud. It was rocking. And the Steelers, I mean, look, I mean, here's Roethlisberger scramble. I mean, that was a game that I think is going to be very close and similar to this in playmakers, and the Saints showed that they could sort of win in that way. Quick final comment before we go to
I don't think the Eagles have two good receivers like Brown and Schuster, but they're deeper. They've got two tight ends in Dallas Goedert and Ertz who are dangerous, and then Aguiar and on down their receiving core with Alshon Jeffery. Mm-hmm. They've got enough guys. Golden Tate's been a Saint killer. They can spread the Saints out. So I think that game does play big because all of the corners have to play well. The whole secondary has to play well against this Eagle offense.
He's going to have his plays, and we'll hear from Sheldon Rankins here as we go into the break. On Foles is going to make plays, and you just got to be able to do it. Here's Rankins, then we'll go to break.
You just can't get frustrated. You got to continue to stay with the plan, continue to rush, continue to get after him. Because at some point, he's going to have to pack, he's going to have to hold it. And when he does, you got to be there to make those plays.
So Sheldon Rankins to say, look, Foles will make the plays. Okay, he's going to have a handful. The offense is going to have a handful. But to that point in that Steeler game, right, Rankins himself made a play at the end of the game. It's like, and that's exactly what he just said. You just got to stay with it. And maybe in the fourth quarter he makes a play. Maybe in the second quarter that plays the difference. But I love that mindset that he's saying it already, because that game that we're watching right now here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, perfect example. Perfect example.
Sometimes one stop makes a difference.
There it is, and it could be in the fourth quarter. Coming up next, Larry Holder, Rafael Esparza, bottom of the hour, Marlon Favorite, 215. That's it. Rest of the show, I want to hear from people like Clint. I need an offensive player, a defensive player, and a key to the game, and go ahead and give me a score prediction. He had 35-14.
35-14.
Keep track of that if you can. 35-14. Wow. Okay. Looking forward to it. Getting closer. I'm getting pumped.
You're antsy.
Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play a game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured by an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. So check them out online. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Coming right back.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Escúchame, it is Zidane Levitation, ESPN Radio.
Think about this, right? What they're trying to fix there is old guy referee chasing a play where there may or may not have been a bump, and that's worth 70 yards in a game of violent real estate acquisition.
Right.
Like, you can't have, nobody can get a 70-yard play, and then you just lob a ball up, and old guy's running back there, and maybe there's some hand contact, and you get a 70-yard penalty. And I think what happens when you change this rule, though, is now, are you not risking that football is going to have fewer and fewer actual deep plays? Because cornerbacks, if they're beaten, they're just going to tackle a dude. They're just going to take him out and take the 15 yards. Are the pros going to pros playing by college rules going to just take away all deep balls because corners who are beat are not going to do anything other than just grab a guy and you eliminate any possibility of deep play?
The Dan Levitard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Nick Foles on if the loss in Week 11 is fuel for his Eagles.
Team has, you know, helped us become the team we are today. Going through that, that's not easy as a team to lose like that. But it's like I said, there's never pointing of fingers. It actually brought us closer. It can separate a team or it can bring a team closer, and it brought us closer. And, you know, at this point in the year, you don't really need any more fuel. We're out here ready to roll. We're working hard. But, you know, we're definitely excited to compete against the Saints. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the NFL. You know, they're a well-rounded team. They play well all three phases of football. They do a great job. They're well-coached. They have great players. So it's going to be a great challenge.
Larry Holder writes for The Athletic, joins us now to talk a little bit about this. You just heard there from quarterback Nick Foles, Larry, and I've gotten a sense and feel, especially going into this postseason, lots of Nick Foles talk. Jay Hargrave over here to my left thinks this is the guy who can come into the dome and make plays. I'm like, well, what about number 9? Don't forget him. But there's undeniable. He's 6-1 since he's been taken over.
Right, and that's one reason for pause. I totally understand that. And I'll just go back to last week and say they just about lost because of Nick Foles. He throws two picks. You know, it's not like he's Mr. Perfection. I mean, he's not Joe Montana. That's just not who he is. I don't care what people say. But he has certainly helped spur this resurgence by the Eagles. And you can't deny that. And so I feel like, Gus, the closer we're getting to this game, I feel like you're starting to almost the storyline as far as the Eagles. Oh, no, they're not just this little underdog team. Now, all of a sudden, they're the best team we've ever seen. And I'm just okay, mm-hmm. How did that just change from, 3 days ago? I think it's just people are talked out by it by now, and you can't even get it till Sunday afternoon. You got to wait through all the mess to see what Nick Foles can come and do in the Superdome, if anything.
And that's my thing, and I think one of the things that I've discussed with a lot of people here as well is I get it. I'm not even looking at it from that standpoint of what Philly can do. I'm looking at what the Saints have done. They're the number one seed for a reason. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's probably going to finish first or second in the MVP ballot, right? You have a guy, Michael Thomas, who's had an unbelievable year. You have a guy, Alvin Kamara, that's a matchup problem and nightmare. The defense has proven they can create turnovers, make plays, get key stops in the game. The Saints have won 12-9. The Saints have won putting up 55 points. The Saints have won in a number of different ways using a number of different people. I think they're as well-rounded and as ready for a run as they have been under Sean Payton. That has to give you confidence, right?
Oh, I think absolutely. And yet, I have a column up at The Athletic right now about just some small issues with the offense. And the offense can't deny it, has not been the same since the Eagles game. And so maybe that gives you a little bit of pause. Do I think some of that has to do with the O-line being banged up? Sure, I absolutely do believe that. And yet, I'll just go back to the Eagles game. Look, the Saints didn't have Tron Armstead. They didn't have Ted Ginn, and they won 48-7. And there was no running up the score nonsense. I mean, right. that's just silly talk. I mean, you know, they basically chilled out once the fourth quarter started. And the Eagles, they keep, you know, they keep saying, oh, well, their secondary's improved since then. Well, it's a lot of the same guys. I mean, what do you mean they're improved? It's the same people. And they let Tre'Quan Smith go all over them. And this time, Ted Ginn's going to be back. And so I feel like that the Saints will have some different wrinkles. And I still don't know where the answer is to Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. So you can give me all these, you know, all these anecdotes and this, that, and the other about how the Eagles are a resurgent team all of a sudden. But I still see that Saints still present the same issues to an Eagles defense. And I don't think the Eagles defense has all of a sudden transformed and become the 85 Bears. Sorry, I haven't seen that.
Larry, it's Jay Hargrave, and I need your help because I know you've worked with Gus in the past, and I've got two questions for you. First, did he take things that you said and twist them around so that he could benefit himself?
No.
Because what I said was the Eagles were a dangerous team with Nick Foles, and I really didn't want any part of them.
Right.
But having seen them play the Bears last week,
all of a sudden he's terrible.
You saw the holes in that defense. You saw Avante Maddox, who they're now calling the king of the double move. You see that this secondary from the Eagles is too beat up. You know, Malcolm Jenkins can want the rematch all he wants, but if you don't have the people to match up.
Unbelievable.
And right now, the Eagles defense just doesn't look like it can match
up. 2 weeks ago, Larry, he said they were unbeatable.
No, that's what you heard. You thought you heard, Gus.
This sounds like, when I created the show and let Gus jump on board.
There we go.
Back in 2010. So I would always make sure these things that were said were actually factual. You know, I played the spin control because Gus would be screaming like terrorist guy calling for people's heads, and I'm like, no, you can't do that, dude. But as far as the Eagles defense, no, I'm with you. It's not like they've added all these new pieces. Like the last time they played the Saints, they rushed with the front four. It's the same front four. Do they have notable names? Absolutely. Did the Saints slow them down? Yes, and if the Eagles decide to blitz, you don't think Drew Brees is going to be prepared for any sort of blitzing? Like, it doesn't – all of that, you know, I'm almost just keep ignoring the Nick Foles factor. I look at the Eagles defense, and I say, where are they so much dramatically better than the last time they played this? And I just don't see it. I just don't.
I'm with you, Larry. My concern, if I had to have one, is the health of the offensive line, as you touched on. You can see the offense hasn't been the same as they were mid to early part of the season, and it's because of the health of the O-line. You look at the injury report yesterday, four of your starting five players limited, right? Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, Larry Warford, Andres Pete. Your tackles, your guards, Max Unger is the only one that's not on there. Even Jermon Bushrod's limited. So I'll say this, though. I do think that week of not playing a game, they did practice, but not playing a game has to help. Robert Meacham yesterday on the show said, look, no one's ever healthy. If you can get to 70%, 75% health right now by that bye week is going to help. That's what you're, I hear what you're saying with that line. A hurt offensive line, they become better. A healthier offensive line for the Saints, it could be similar. I mean, to me, it's really based on the health of this offensive line. If Teron Armstead can finish this game, start and finish the game, I think the Saints are in the NFC Championship game.
If Larry Warford and Ryan Ramczyk, if they needed to play Week 17, they would have played Week 17. These aren't like new injuries for these guys. They've just been kind of dealing with it. Now, the hand injury to Andres Pete, I'm curious to see how that is, and yet club it up, and he just won't be able to actually, it calls for holding. So why don't we just do that? But I still think Teron Armstead, I'm leery just about him as far as being able to play. I mean, we've thought he's been able to play a couple times, didn't. Then when he did, the first time he came back, he got re-injured right away. So I would figure that Jermon Bushrod would be ready to play. He's been able to rest that hamstring, and the fact that everyone's limited. I think part of this is also a little mystery by the Saints with injury report. They took some snaps and they didn't. So I don't know. We'll see. So I think there's a little bit of a gamesmanship going on here. But if the Saints' offensive line is 90% healthy, I think they get the job done. I'm with you. I mean, look, I keep talking to people and talking to people and talking to people and writing about all this. And my conclusion remains the same, even though I have issues with some of the things that the Saints are doing or haven't been able to do lately. But my conclusion remains the same. I can't see the Saints losing this game. I just can't.
Larry, we threw out there on Twitter and Facebook as well, question of the day, a player on offense, a player on defense that needs to step up and have a big game, and a final score. Take those three. We'll wrap up with you.
All right, player on offense, I will say, and this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say Michael Thomas, because they were able to kind of eliminate him the last game, and Traquan Smith somehow had one of the biggest games of his life, and we haven't seen anything like that at all. So it sounds weird that I'm going to say that, but I think Michael Thomas, if he's beating the Eagles are in big, big trouble, because that means they're not stopping him, and they're probably not going to be able to stop anyone else. I'll say defensively, I'm going to cheat and say two players. I'm going to say DeMario Davis and Von Bell. I'm curious to see how they handle those tight ends, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, in pass coverage, because you know the Eagles are going to try to implement those two guys, and those two guys, Davis has been very good in coverage, and Bell has gotten better. And my score, like, I sound crazy, but I wrote it, I said it, I'm going with it. Saints 38, Eagles 21.
There you go. I'm going 27-17, so I do think they cover, though. So it's along that line. I just think at the end of the day, it's what you're saying. It's just matchups. And I think, you know, Kamara, I think he benefited greatly from not, you know, playing this past week and getting back to what he can. And quite honestly, I think Mark Ingram can have an impact in this game, especially considering he hasn't in the last couple of weeks being part of that game plan.
Look, I'm with you. I think Kamara, I don't see an answer for them. They didn't have an answer for them. And, look, they didn't play great against the Steelers, but they were able to get in the end zone a bunch. So, you know, even my Eagles cohort for the Athletic think the Saints are going to win. They're not as frisky maybe as me, but
right.
I just think the Saints are going to win. Now, I'm not going to, like, and I'll just put it to you this way. If/when the Saints win, I'm not going to be saying, oh, the Saints are going to blow out either the Rams or Dallas. I think both of those teams present tougher matchups than the Eagles.
Larry, real quick, it's Jay Hargrave again. We got to have lunch because earlier I told Gus that the Saints would win by 14. He thought I was nuts. You said 17 and nothing. So obviously I don't have the credibility that you did. So you and I are going to have lunch so you can kind of school me on Cat and Gill.
Yeah. Well, you
all, come on,
well,
man. I know where you guys are. I got to get back down there.
You always have a seat. I told you.
Hostile takeover holder.
Whenever you want to come on a Friday, there's a seat between me and the intern right now where you can sit down. Right here.
There we go. Good deal, guys.
Thank you, bud.
Thanks, Larry.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. Larry Holder of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Larry Holder, Rafael Esparza, and will give us the Vegas outlook on things. We'll not only take a look at the Saints and Eagles, but we'll also take a look at Chargers-Patriots. And a very interesting one with Colts and Chiefs.
Could we see a 5-6 matchup in the AFC Championship?
In
a soccer stadium?
In the soccer stadium. Rafael's shaking his head. Is he shaking it yes? Is he shaking it no? We'll do that when we come back to Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. 909-KING. That's the number to ring the King. Let them take care of you. They will make sure you're represented well. KingInjuryFirm.com is the website. You can go check out and get the info from them. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
Lob for the rim. One hand alley-oop. Smashed down by Anthony Davis.
No, he didn't. Picks it up. Shoots for three.
Good, good, good. Drew Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves Saturday at 7 on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Car guys know, not all motor oils are created equal. Because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology, designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline. Trusted for 150 years. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic High Mileage and a filter for just $34.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ain't no place to be on Mighty Rod Day.
It's Mardi Gras time, and Joe's Septic Contractors would like to let everyone know that there is still time to call in your orders for portable toilets and hand wash stations. You can order 2, 3, 6, 10, and 18-stall restroom trailers from everyone at Joe's Septic Contractors. Have a happy and safe Mardi Gras. Call 985-632-5592 or visit joesseptic.com.
No place to be on Mardi Gras Day.
Mardi Gras Day!
No way.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ah, it is. You hear the lights? A lot of music saying bright lights, right? How's the song go? Bright lights, I'm gonna sing my song.
I should know this song by heart. It seems like every leeway I come into every radio station I'm on,
this is always one. it's that same song.
It's that one or Frank Sinatra.
I got you. Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, we like to call him, at VSI Doc Sports. It's a way to follow him over on Twitter. You've been listening to our conversations here as well. You were here this Friday.
Yes.
The Friday where Jay Hardgrave was doom and gloom, right? It wasn't just me.
No, okay. Doom and gloom.
I was making sure. Thank you. Before we get to Saints and Eagles, and we'll finish with that. What?
What did Gus make it pay you to say that?
No, I mean, well, he forgets that Friday happened.
You're saying, oh, the way the Eagles played the Bears and blah, blah. You're trying to tell me Nick Foles and Trubisky are the same quarterback.
Absolutely not.
Well, then why you think it's going to be an easy W this weekend?
I didn't say it's going to be an easy W. I said I can see them winning and covering the spread.
Double-digit victories are usually "quote unquote
easy in the postseason.
Easy victories." Yeah.
If Russell Wilson would have been quarterback in the Bears, they would have beat the Eagles.
Now it's Russell Wilson
because Trubisky cost them that game. His inexperience, and you can expect that from inexperienced quarterbacks. Yeah. But if with that Eagles secondary, you can't match up with the Saints offense.
No, but you have to play the game.
Right. I agree with that completely.
Doesn't matter. The Eagles are rolling free dice. Woo!
I agree with you completely in that they're a dangerous team.
Okay. Well, let's get into the other matchups here, Rafael, because, again, there's a lot to get into with the other playoff games. I need 10 seconds from you, though. Okay? Scott Kushner says the next 12 games will determine the Pels' season. They've won 3 straight. Don't bring up the fact that 2 of those 3 have been Cleveland with 8 wins, but do you think they've turned the corner? Are we going to see a playoff team? That's what I'm asking you.
Playoff team, no. 3 wins is probably huge for the AD trade factor. I mean, you haven't really heard that much in the last 3 games.
Well,
since they won.
The last 13 games, he's either trying to increase the team. That's how I look at it now, right? I mean, the last 13 games is like, 8 30-point games, 4 40-point games or something. Like, there he is.
There's a lot of bottom teams. The Jazz are starting to play what we thought the Jazz were going to play. Sacramento
Kings.
Don't
think they make the postseason.
Right now, I just don't see them being healthy all season long.
Okay. That's what I said.
When would you put up odds that Gentry's going to get fired?
Oh, come on.
I got to ask.
I mean, I was shocked it took 38 minutes.
He's basketball. He's going to be the head coach all season long. So.
Yeah, they're not firing
him. Oh, that means we trade the number one pick. That was the first round pick next year.
Oh, look, it is what it is. All right, let's get to it. I mean, this one here. Can't wait to fire him. Let's start with the You want to start with the early game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, we were all on time this afternoon, so we were talking about this game, and we, all three of us agreed that I think the Colts win outright. I mean, Andrew,
wow.
I know everyone says the MVP awards between either Breeze or Mahomes. I'm sorry. Give it five MVP trophies to the offensive line of the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck had like 10 minutes in the pocket just picking apart. And I think he's going to do the same thing against that weak KC defense. I think the Colts can easily win this game by a touchdown.
I saw the stat, and I can't remember the exact stat, but it was about the Colts defense and what they've been able to do the last several games.
No one
games.
Talks about the Colts defense.
No, and like they've been shutting everybody down. It wasn't just the Texans that had it. Remember, again, another one of Jay's teams that can come in and beat the Saints in the Dome, the Dallas Cowboys, right?
He said the Washington Generals, too, to compete.
Same thing. They shut them out. They shut them out in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
They didn't score. And, I mean, not a field goal. And I think that's what I keep going back to the last couple of, games here last week. So, I mean, the Colts defense not being talked about who they are, but can they do it with Mahomes? I just think, man, his mobility, I could see this being a tight game, but also being a game in which maybe it's like a 23-21, 24-20 sort of game.
I think the Chiefs win if they score 40.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win if they have a Chiefs game. You know, Mahomes throwing Tecmo Bowl passes, and he jumps over Drew Brees as the MVP, and he has a monster game. If it's a 20-type game, like you're saying, I think the Colts win that type of game.
Over-under on this game is 57. How do y'all see the money? How's the money been coming in? How do you see
it's
that
all,
playing?
All on the over. Anytime Kansas City just puts a jersey on, the public is betting the over. Because, again, all they see is Tecmo Bowl numbers, and it's the style that they run. So, at the end of the day, we're going to be looking at probably Kansas City to cover, but the game to go under. Because right now, the books are heavy on the Colts.
So who you got? Colts?
I got the Colts.
Colts or Chiefs?
I think
I got to go Chiefs. Even though I think the Colts are playing well, I got to go Chiefs.
Experience Luck versus inexperienced Mahomes. Never played.
You're like Luck's been in like 15 postseasons.
But here's a stat that blew me away. I just heard this the other day. Kansas City has won two games in its existence. Two playoff games at home.
And who's their head coach?
Andy Reid.
That's literally.
Andy, are you going to trust Andy Reid in the playoffs?
That's
these guys know about Andy Reid in the playoffs. Eagle fans know about Andy Reid in the playoffs.
This is literally where I was going to end the conversation on this game with that. This has been Andy Reid's issue. The last several years, they've won 9 in a row, 11 in a row. They've had tremendous seasons, and they lose in the postseason. You just kind of wonder if maybe part of that reason was because they didn't have, you know, again, it's why they went and got Pat Mahomes, though.
Yeah.
Alex Smith couldn't get them past that playoff hurdle. I think he can here.
He can. Again, he has to score 40-plus points to beat the Colts.
I don't see that happening.
See, but here's the thing. We're talking about with the Saints and Eagles. You can't forget that the Saints have won the number one seed. There's a reason the Chiefs are the number one seed.
There's a reason why the Chargers went to Arrowhead and won defense in Kansas City.
Okay. All right. Next game, the one in the afternoon. Dallas and the Rams. I listened to Mr. Woodson today on Golic and Wingo. And, Dallas can go in there. They have the right linebackers. They have the right defensive line. They have Ezekiel Elliott. He's predicting Cowboys win over the Rams in a, as he said, a standout way. He thinks they can absolutely go there to L.A. and get the win.
They can. I think the Cowboys cover. I think the Rams win this game. Probably going to be a close one. I think the Rams win like a 24-20 type of game, something that I think just the Rams getting healthy, Gurley, they're going to want to probably – both teams are going to want to establish the run. That's why the total has dropped, opened up at 50. It's 49.5, 49. I think both teams are going to want to establish the run early. Zeke, they're going to feed him the ball. Gurley, if he's healthy, he's going to want the ball early. I just think the Rams in the second half, I think, just pull away, and I think they nip the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys hang around and cover this number, but I think the Rams win.
One thing that concerns me is last week, didn't every game go under?
Yeah. Yes.
And usually when that happens the next week, they tend to be a little bit on the overside, but we're talking about another possible under here.
Normally it does, but we talked about this before the playoffs started, that the NFL was scoring so many touchdowns when it was being in the season. Now all these
y'all
teams
have caught up to
now
them.
All these teams have had video to see how these they're running offenses. We have adjusted on numbers. I think that's why. I still think it's going to be a very tight NFL playoff underwise, and would not be shocked if it's a low scoring Super Bowl.
I'll be interested to see in this game with Dallas and the Rams. Obviously, Gurley's health, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's been out for a little bit, so I don't know what that stamina is sort of going to be like. The fact that the Rams lost in the divisional round last year didn't look good either. They didn't look very well prepared and everything. But they rested starters. A little different, right? Goff and then played in this one. I just think, again, sort of like I was just saying with the Chiefs, we can't forget for most of the year what the Rams were and what they did. And when they did struggle towards the end, health was an issue, just like the Saints. Their offense didn't look the same because of that, and I understand that. The Chiefs, towards the end of the year, ran into some good defenses, but it was at Seattle on the road, and Seattle was doing that to a couple of teams. They held the Vikings essentially touchdown less. So I just still think you have to look at the body of work, and I still have always thought the Rams posed the biggest threat to the Saints getting to the Super Bowl.
I couldn't agree more.
And they have the offense, they can do it. And while, yes, that first half was tremendous here in New Orleans in the middle of the season, the fourth quarter is what I thought the game was going to be like. I mean, Ingram fumbled, they went for it, and missed out getting 3 points there. Because that was a tennis match. It was you score, they score. You score, they score. That's what I think the game can eventually be like. And Gurley didn't get 100 yards in that
nope.
game. So that's what I'm thinking. That's why I think that's the team. So I'd love to see Dallas go in there. I don't trust Dallas's offense.
No, especially on the road. And I'm rooting for the Rams in this one just because my twin brother is a diehard Cowboys fan, and I really don't want to be hearing for him all
right.
week. If this was a Sunday night game, then maybe I'd be like, but if they win Saturday, then I have to talk to him all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So, but again, I think it's going to be a nail biter, and I think the Rams win this game. But we also put a prop up over at my bookie. How many kickers will miss an extra point in these four games? So over unders are 2.5. So,
2.5. Well, that's I think
wow.
that can cover.
So it's interesting that the kickers have been the big key
right.
So far.
We're going to talk Sunday after this break, but going into the break, just to recap, you got the Colts.
Colts straight up.
And you got the Rams.
I have the Rams winning, but the Cowboys covering the spread.
Okay, what's the spread?
Seven.
You think it'll stay at seven, go off at seven?
I don't think it's going to go off at seven because then the books don't really want to go off seven. On
it's hard to move off one of those numbers.
Just because they don't want to get middled.
Okay. All right. Easy enough. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll talk about the Sunday matchups, which, of course, includes the Saints and Eagles. You got the Chargers and Patriots leading things off. Rafael Esparza and Mr. Vegas will break both of those down. And then we'll continue here on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camp, bike, paddle, and hike our state parks last year as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Hang on tight. Southern Trailer Works presents the Cancer Center at Thibodeau Regional 8 Seconds to Glory Premier Bowl Tour. Saturday, January 12th, 8 p.m. Home of Terrebonne Civic Center. All kids tickets only $6. Get your tickets now for this Cancer Center of Thibodeau Regional Early Detection Saves Lives event at Ticketmaster.com or box office. Brought to you by Neal's Small Engines, Hooters, St. Martin and Pork, and Terrebonne Ford. January 12th, 8 p.m.
The wildest show on Louisiana dirt.
Home of Terrebonne Civic Center.
Everyone needs a fresh start for the new year, and extra cash sure can help. Home of Credit has loans of $300 and up for all occasions.
Home Credit offers fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Home Credit even accepts phone applications, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 985-223-1085. Call 985-223-1085 or check them out on Facebook. Home Credit.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, a lot of Saints fans have been wondering during the week, who will lead the Who Dat chant? Reggie Bush just tweeted it out. He and Jonathan Vilma, they did it last year with a bunch of Saints. Was a little loud.
When that's going on, yeah. It's hard to change plays at the line of scrimmage.
I love that. Was it Drew Brees, right? Started that tradition and thought that they should do that as well. Mike, an Eagles fan here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You just got here, right?
Yeah, we just flew in a couple hours ago.
I love it. It was great. We had to give a geography lesson to Jay. He goes, yeah, I get that, Joey. The Eagles did fly. See that? Yuck it up. Yeah, Jay's like, y'all just got from Jersey. He's like, where's Jersey? It's across the bridge.
Yeah, we're like 15, 20 minutes.
I've never been up northeast.
I was in Philly earlier this week, and it was actually unseasonably warm. It was this beautiful weather in the last couple of days over there. There's a lot of confidence, obviously, on what the Eagles have done. I rooted for you guys last year. It's very similar to New Orleans, the fan base, the love affair with the team.
Right.
And, look, they embraced that underdog role, and – to see them get in towards the end of the season, what is your feelings on this year's team?
In the beginning of the season, they probably lacked a little bit of confidence, having going with Foles after last year. Mm-hmm. He's not much of a starting quarterback. He's more of like a backup quarterback role. And once he was put in that position, I feel like he folded a little bit. And then once Wentz came back, he got back to his role, like all of things of what he was used to be doing, mm-hmm. instead of doing that starting role. So then once went down and he came back in, I think he just picked everything up and just got the boys going.
You brought up an interesting point because Nick Foles is going to be a free agent. You know, here we go again. Everybody thought this was Carson Wentz's team. Do the Eagles re-sign Nick Foles or do they let him walk in free agency? Because I kind of compare him to Case Keenum. Everybody thought he was the next best thing at sliced bread. But when he got out of that Minnesota system and Pat Shurmur went to Denver and was a bust. What's the sentiment in Philadelphia about Foles?
Right. I mean, he's obviously a Super Bowl MVP. He can get a lot of offers from other teams for what he's done. I think right now Wentz is definitely going to be our starting quarterback through the rest of the years for 4, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever it is. But as of right now, you play the hot hand and just have Foles roll with it and just keep going.
All right, Mike, we'll wrap up with just what do you think you're going to see on Sunday? You follow this team a lot closer than obviously we do, and you know
Absolutely.
The different players and everything. What do you think some matchups that are going to favor you guys that you think need to happen for a Philly win on Sunday?
I think we just got to stick with short slants and running the ball a little bit. Use Sproles as much as we can. I don't think we use him as much as we did last week as we have in the last 3 or 4 weeks as he's came in.
Okay.
So he's going to be a huge role. I think they should rush the ball to Josh Adams a little bit more. He's a big back. He can get through a lot of people. Drew Brees is an unbelievable quarterback. I'm not going to doubt that. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been there before. So honestly, it's going to be a very, very good game. It's going to be I honestly think it's going to be like 31-24.
Okay. 31-24 is what he has.
But you got the Eagles.
Birds.
You got the Broncos. Just want to make sure.
Mike, man, appreciate a little of your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy your time here, and hopefully you have a very good weekend other than Sunday. But
awesome.
No, enjoy the game. I think it's going to be fun. That's what it's for.
Awesome.
Right?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining
so
us, man.
As we bring back Rafael Esparza to kind of go into these games here. But you notice he mentioned the running game and also Sproles here as well. I think keeping the Saints offense off the field obviously has got to be a key to be able to do that. As well, Rafael, as you know, you hear what he said, it will wrap up with Saints and Eagles, but the first game is Chargers and Patriots. I don't see the Patriots being as dominant as they have in the past. It's still New England. They haven't lost this year. Man, I'm hearing already this morning, you know, what happens if they lose? Massive changes, personnel, staff, you know, what have yous. I'm going Chargers on this.
I've been going back and forth on this. I've been wrong in the Chargers all season long. If you go through all your tapes that I'm here, I have not been able to double guess what they're doing. Everyone, remember in the beginning of the season, we were going to have an LA Super Bowl, and I'm like, there's no way the Chargers are going to do it. And I've been wrong. But you're trying to tell me at Gillette Stadium, I can get Tom Brady -4, 8-0 at home, all that experience, and you have Phillip Rivers, the AKA of Andy Reid, of his coaching. What, tell me what's the last big game Rivers has won in the playoff. I have to take New England -4. I know the Gronk, this is probably his last year. He'll be wrestling at WrestleMania 36 probably.
You think he goes into wrestling?
Oh yeah, huh? He does. He does something like that. This would be the last year we see Gronk. Could be the last year we see Brady. Totally different kind of, Patriots team we might see next year. But you're trying to tell me I can get one of the GOATs at -4, who hasn't lost all season long at home? I mean, I'm going to take the Patriots, so that means the Chargers win by double digits.
Okay.
Would they all walk away this year if let's say they lose to the Chargers, because, you know, Josh McDaniel has pulled his name out of all other coaching vacancies.
I think he's been promised
a head
coach.
And he has to know it's imminent, that if it's not this year, it's the following year. So you got to believe. Would they all walk away if they lose to the Chargers, don't win a game, and Brady retires, Belichick retires, Gronkowski goes to wrestling?
I always say there's two coaches that will retire when their quarterbacks leave. That's your guys' quarterback here. I don't think Drew Brees or Peyton coached. I think they're together. And I think Brady and Belichick.
I agree with you on Brady.
I think Sean still stays around.
I agree.
I think he goes to the home. I'm hearing a lot of grumblings that he could be up in suites instead of co-head coach.
Front office.
I've said this before.
Yeah, you said that, but I'm hearing this these last, I think, 2 months. I've heard a lot of grumblings that way.
I've been saying that he's not going. He's got so much power and control here. It's incredibly rare.
But I don't think he head coaches another quarterback.
Well, you know, I think maybe he starts that process, perhaps, maybe grooming some other people. You wonder if you got to see where it goes.
Yeah.
You got to see where it goes. I'll say this, and you can agree with me on this. There's no way he leaves until his championship window is done.
No.
Right.
If they lose, let's say, this week or in the Super Bowl, they all come back and play the band.
That's what
again.
I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, this is a young team, and until they have to start
paying.
It's
a young team, but his quarterback ain't young.
No, right. I hear you. All right, so let's get to the Saints and Eagles. What do you like and who?
I think it's going to be a close game. I like the under at 51.5.
Wow.
I think both teams are going to want to establish the run early. I think Sproles is going to be huge for the Eagles. I think the running game of the Saints. Both defenses do not want to see their quarterbacks on the field. Eagles don't want Drew Brees on the field. I'm sure the Saints don't want Nick Foles on the field because you know what Nick Foles can do. I mean, he can play God probably in any movie and probably get that role. I think the Saints win. I have them winning 27-20.
So you think it's just going to be a lot of running?
So they don't cover?
No, they don't cover.
Wow.
But you think it's going to be a lot of running that keeps the score down? Because I just don't see
if
I think both offenses
if the Saints punch them in the mouth quickly, let's say go up 7-0, 10-0, then I think they're just going to feed the ball, milk the clock, and get out of there and try not to get hurt.
I'll say this. I do think the start of this game is incredibly important. What do you have the first quarter as? Do you go by quarters? Can you think of – I could see
– Saints favored by 3.
What's the score at the end of one? So I could see it being.
You're
10.
Pushing
about
Saints,
over
the
about 14.
The Saints are -0.5 in the first quarter. The total is 9.5.
Because here's the reason I say this, right? If you're gonna, it's almost like getting a good starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. When do they usually struggle? The beginning.
Yeah.
The Saints
defense,
unless
you're Mark
Pryor
or Kerry Wood.
I hear you. They've been gotten in the beginning. The opening drive, they give up points and things. And then they had that stretch this year where they didn't give up anything in the second half. The Steelers gave just 7 in the fourth quarter. So I think the Saints defense gets better as the game gets going.
That's why I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
I can totally see the Eagles either leading after one, maybe even into halftime tied or leading by 3 or so. I can totally see that. I think the Saints win at the end, but I can totally see the Eagles get out of their first 3 or 4 possessions, 10 points.
I mean, I said 27-20. I'm like, they're not covering. They're winning by a touchdown.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I'm saying it's going to be a close game and the Saints win by a field goal.
All right, once again, let's recap. You got Colts.
Yep.
You got Rams.
Yep.
But not covering.
Not covering.
You got New England.
New England, so that means Chargers win by double digits.
And you got
I have the Saints, but not covering.
But not covering. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Rafael Esparza. Thank you as always, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a safe flight.
Yep. When we have fun coming up next in hour number two, your calls, some sound from the Eagles coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.